Right. Oh, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Today I'm joined with Wendy, and please introduce yourself and what you do.
Hi, everyone. My name is Nokubonga Wendy Ntshiba. I am a professional nurse by profession, and most importantly, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High. And yeah, that's me.
Awesome. Nursing. When did your interest for nursing start?
My interest for nursing started, I can say, after high school or during my matric year, because initially the idea was that I want to be a medical doctor and so forth. But then the maths was not mathing, hey? The maths was not mathing. And then at the time, I just always knew that, okay, if I'm not making it directly into the medical stream, I need to aim for something in healthcare. Sure. And then I'll just work my way up from there.
Okay.
And then I thought to myself, okay, so since I have not applied for nursing at varsity, I had applied for medicine, physiotherapy, and occupational therapy. So I was like, okay, the issue now with my current results is my maths and my science. They are good, but not good enough. So my plan was, let me do any course that will have those subjects so that I can test and also see myself if I will be able to handle these subjects at a varsity level.
Sure.
So then that's how I ended up at CPUT. For a year, I enrolled for food technology. That's where I did a couple of modules, microbiology, chemistry, physics, and science. And then it was there when I saw that, oh no, actually, I can survive this. I can do this. Mm. And then from there, I did an external transfer from CPUT to UWC.
Okay.
And that's how I landed up in nursing.
Great.
Yeah.
So you start doing nursing, your passion for it. Was it diminished, or do you sort of continue loving it as you're studying it? You didn't get any shocks while studying it?
Oh, guys, the nursing has such a bad connotation to it. Like when people think of nursing, or when they speak of nursing, we're like, you're changing old people's diapers, you're dealing with vomit, you're dealing with blood. But my passion grew so much for what I do. Yes, the first year was not difficult, but it was shocking because it was an environment that I had not necessarily prepared myself to be in, if I may put it like that. But I love what I do with all of my heart, up to the point where I don't even see myself doing anything else besides being a nurse, guys.
You're not even thinking of upgrading to become a doctor?
Not even anymore. And my mom was like, no, but you should come home, you know, and then maybe we will do it. Don't worry about the money. Like, I'll take you through school. You'll manage. You'll make it now in medicine. I'm just like, I'm so happy where I'm at.
Sure.
I am so, so happy, guys.
It's just an interesting turnaround of you moving from having a passion for something else, but finding new love in nursing.
Yeah.
Right. And then getting into varsity, right? So you're studying nursing. What are the few advices that you can give a student now who's studying nursing that can help them graduate? I mean, you're a graduate as well. Yeah. So maybe give us some few tips that can help a student at the moment.
One thing that I would most definitely advise current nursing students is that, guys, everything that all the other students are doing is really not that important. It was only during my final year where I realized that had I applied myself as much as I did in my final year, there's so many other things that I could have been exposed to throughout my nursing career. So, guys, study. It's unfortunate that you won't have a break that is long as the other students, because you'll have clinical hours, you'll have to juggle academics and clinical hours. But guys, it is so much more like fulfilling to give yourself that gift of actually putting in everything and then getting the best results. It's so rewarding getting your accolades, being part of the nursing council, going on excursions. It's a beautiful thing to walk into your faculty and to be recognized by your dean. Mm. It's very nice, guys. So
that's what happened for you in your last year.
For me, I think that was the case, particularly because I was working in the faculty. Mm. So as much as I wasn't an A student in the class, but me being I Yeah, I was proactive. I spoke a lot. So I found myself working for the faculty for about 4 years. So I was working at the reception. So the dean would pass by, our lecturers would pass by. So I was exposed to most of the staff that works in the faculty.
Sure.
So I feel like even that, it was something very special for me that had I not put myself out there like that, I wouldn't have been granted this opportunity. And it was such a beautiful thing, man, for me. I enjoyed my varsity days, guys.
Sure. Speaking of your varsity days, so I think we'll talk about your beauty pageants that you have won several times.
Several times.
Okay. But you participated in some on several pages, right?
Yes.
Maybe I'm just mixing up my facts there, but I want you to just touch on the balancing between your school hours and your clinical hours. Mm-hmm. How crucial is it, and is there any method that you use? Because I know nursing or medical students, most of them, they actually do practicals, which is, you call them clinical hours.
Yes.
How do you balance that and then sort of strike a balance between the two?
I always say that you can never pour from an empty cup.
Mm.
That's what pageantry was for me. It as much as I love nursing, but to some degree or to some extent, you need to extract yourself because the career can overwhelm you. It can suck you in. My colleagues would say that even if it's lunchtime, do not stay within the hospital premises. Go for a walk, listen to music, listen to a podcast, just be outside of this environment, because if you're going to sit and be idle, you're going to think, okay, so that patient, I have to do this. This patient, I have to do this. This patient, I have to do this. So for me, pageantry was that. I knew that, okay, I'm going to not clock out from my clinical hours. I'm quickly going to go home, take a shower. Then I'm going to go to rehearsals. Mm. I don't know if I can say if it's a method, but it worked for me to distract myself.
Mm.
I feel like had I not distracted myself, I would not have found the passion or the love that I do for nursing now, because I gave myself little breaks in between. So even if it's sports, even if it's, if you are a creative, painting, writing, music, but just have another passion outside of the workplace, otherwise nursing will suck you in. Mm. It will suck you in, yes.
I understand that greatly, in terms of have something that you do on the side, whether it be, when I call it a hobby or whatever. And like you're saying, that you found some sort of solace which takes you out of the world of studying.
Yes.
So that you can do something which is also a passion project as well. So speaking of passion projects, okay, can you please just run us through your beauty pageant history? Okay. And the reason why I'm saying this is I feel like it's something which someone can also learn from you.
Mm.
And I think you mentioned that you have been, what's this word? Running through all of them, or most of them that you have been in. And please do share some of the things that you can sort of advise them. And if you can, just give them your slight history in terms of where you started and how far you are at the moment.
Okay, so pageantry or modeling per se goes way back. I think I signed up for my first agency at the age of 13. I feel like my mom just felt like that she has a really pretty baby that she needs to put out there. So she signed me up for a modeling agency. And then back then I was on catalogs for your PEP, your JETS, your THRUITS and so forth. But then when I got into my high school years, that faded a bit. I feel like I got a bit distracted as well. And then I got to varsity. So my first year of varsity, I competed in Miss CPUT. Unfortunately, that didn't go too well for me, but it was a great experience. I feel like I got to sort of measure as to how does the competition
does
or the
work,
yes, how does the pageantry work like on a larger scale?
Mm. So what was the biggest lesson you learned from that?
What was the biggest lesson I learned from Miss CPUT? I feel what I took from that was, things won't always go your way, but that's okay. that was the year where I actually tapped into that things won't always go your way, because remember that was also the year that I was doing food science.
Oh.
So there was just a lot of things that were just like, hey, this is not exactly where I planned to be, but it's okay.
Sure.
So yeah, that was CPUT.
So and building thicker skin.
You know. And then the following year I entered South Point. South Point is a private student accommodation for students. They have multiple accommodations around South Africa. And then I won that title. That's when I feel I was exposed to the marketing industry, because then it wasn't just a title. You had to do orientations. You had to show up for events. You had to be MC for Women's Day. If there was a Heritage Day event going on, you had to make sure that, okay, do we have enough funds to provide food, the decor? Do we have enough branding? So those sort of things. So that was really interesting for me, because I had never been a media person, if I may put it like that. So being put into that environment was very eye-opening. That was very fun for me. The following year, I entered Miss UWC, and then I also took that title. Mm-hmm. Oh, that was a very rough reign for me at the time. There was quite a lot of disputes between students and accommodation and NSFAS and the institution which I was at, UWC. So it was one of my most difficult reigns, if I may put it like that. Being the middleman between a certain institution and the people is not easy sometimes, but we pulled through, we managed.
Is that the part where you said you would deliver on your questions? You said you're going to solve the problem, but Jack can't.
I would say I'm going to try, guys,
okay,
because I'm only the face.
Sure.
I unfortunately don't sit on in the big meetings or in the offices. At the end of the day, I'm also just a student.
Sure.
So I understand, I can relate. And then I think for about a year or two, I wasn't in any pageant. I didn't enter any pageant until last year when I did Miss City of Cape Town Peninsula. And then, yes, I was the runner-up for that one. When it comes to advice with regards to pageantry has done a lot for me. When I was the face of South Point, or when I was Miss South Point, it was so much easier for me to navigate my accommodation issues, because at the time I didn't have funding. So me entering that pageant and actually taking that title, it opened so many other doors for me. I've got a friend of mine in the pageantry industry. She won a pageant in Eastern Cape, and the pageant awarded her a bursary. So throughout her whole varsity career, she was funded by other people, would say, just by walking down the aisle and smiling. Guys, it's so much more than that. It is so much more than that. For me, it feels like unfortunately, as harsh as it may sound, we won't always learn anything at home, like from our parents.
Okay.
So it's very important or very vital to put yourself in different environments to sort of see, okay, how do I react to this? Oh, okay, so how am I supposed to behave when I'm in this situation? This being a situation that you would have never been exposed to if you were, let's say, just at home or if you were just at school. So for me, pageantry awarded me very many opportunities. For the people around me as well, it's been a very inspiring journey. So if it is a passion of yours or something that you are interested in, then I would most definitely vouch that you go for it. I wouldn't even call it a hobby. I would call it a lifestyle. It molds your character. It develops your personality. It brings out parts in you that you didn't even know that you had. It's a beautiful journey, I won't lie.
It really sounds interesting. And I just like the practical side of it, and it being implemented even from the earlier stages, where they give you projects to sort of run and you learn something about your character, like you said, as you're running, like you said, the other one, the way you're trying to mitigate between the students and NSFAS and everything.
Oh, guys.
It sounds like a handful, but I'm sure you came out the other side much stronger and learned a lot from that experience as well. So I guess that's sort of you've learned it if you heard it from the best. And And I think Stega Podcast and the workforce are the listeners.
Okay.
Because we are the workforce of the economy.
Okay.
We are sort of rooting for you and we want you to go for the bigger one, if you understand what I mean.
That conversation, guys, I'm so afraid to have.
Sure. Yeah.
But
I think on our side, no pressure. Whenever you're ready, just go for it. We will be rooting for you. And I mean, when you win, we would love to host you. Okay, we're hosting the. So with that said, right, you get to start practicing as a nurse. Is there a huge difference between your clinical hours and the work that you do now that you have graduated as a nurse?
There isn't. So during your clinical hours, as a student, we had perceived it as being abused that, oh no, these nurses, they don't want to work. They want us to do their work for them. But it's those years of training that now when you have to actually produce results, specifically as community service professional nurse, which is sort of like a year of internship that you do at a hospital. But then when you, not a hospital per se, but any healthcare institution, yes, when you are put into that position, you are the shift leader. There is unfortunately not a lot of time for anybody to hold your hand because you're at work there. Like, at least as a student, I feel like there was grace because, like, oh no, she's still learning. She doesn't know the ropes yet and she needs to be exposed to these things. But when they put you in that position as a community service professional nurse, you have to lead. Mm. You are the team leader. You need to know, not necessarily everything, but you need to have a fairly good understanding of what you're doing because you're at work, you're getting paid. You need to produce results. Mm-hmm. You can't be caught slacking just because you say, ah, no, I'm fresh out of varsity. Unfortunately, there's no time for that. So it's not very different. It's not different. As the years progress, like the more you progress in your academic career, the more responsibilities you are delegated in your clinical hours. By your fourth year, you are technically a registered nurse. You are a professional nurse. It's just that you are still a student and so forth. But then you have to put yourself in that position that, okay, let me take this responsibility. They're asking me to do this. It's fine. Let me just do it. They're asking me to assist with that. They're asking me to go and observe that. Let me just do that. Because when you are a comm-serv nurse, it's hectic. Mm. It's hectic.
Okay, when you say exactly, I just thought of a question before I ask my actual question. is that the reason why, like, most people don't necessarily like comm-serv, but it seems like comm-serv is like most the hardest one before you actually start working?
I think it's hard because there has never been a point where you've been given so much responsibility.
Sure.
I remember even as a student, there used to be times where if I feel like, okay, like for example, I have that mindset that, okay, this is just abuse. Now these poor nurses do not want to work. They want me to do their work for them. So I'm not going to do A, B, and C. And after this, I'm going to go home. They're going to sign my book. Like nobody's going to look for me. So if something goes wrong, it's on their shoulders. Mm. As a comm-serv nurse, the responsibility that is placed on your shoulders, you're not going to go home and then things just disappear for others. Mm. You'd find that even things that are not even in your scope of practice, things that your colleagues and your staff members are supposedly not doing the way that they're supposed to do,
sure,
you need to answer. Mm. Mind you, you've only been working professionally for like 3 months, mm-hmm, but you need to answer. As the shift leader, as the team leader, why did this happen? Why was this not done? How did this come about to happen? So I feel like that's the one thing that makes it very shocking. It's because it's quite a, I don't want to say it's an awakening, because as I said, you are gradually put into it, but it's shocking. It's shocking. It shocks the body. As a student, if you don't want to go to clinical hours, you just sit at home like, okay, I don't want to go to clinicals today. I have the option of not going. Yes, it's going to be a day of hours that I'm owing, but I don't want to go. You don't have that option as a comm-serv. You
sure
are literally a professional. You are in the career. You don't get to do as you please. Mm. So I feel like that's the awakening, if I can put it like that.
Just maybe since we're still sort of dwelling in the comm-serv, the idea of the institution, I don't know what institution selects you for which place to go to, but it seems like that's like a big thing for students because sometimes you just want to go back home if you're from Limpopo. It's okay, please give me one in Limpopo. But there's this thing where they sort of throw you into like some deep village and all that. How do you deal with that? And how you do sort of, and how was the experience for you as well?
I feel like I'm God's favorite.
Come on.
I was blessed, guys. Mm. I was blessed. So at the beginning of my nursing career, during my first year, I got awarded a bursary by the Department of Health of Western Cape. So what the benefits of that bursary was that, first and foremost, you have to have completed your matric within the Western Cape, which I did right. I mean, my results, my academics were looking fairly good at the time. So I took the offer. I accepted the offer. And then the benefits was that, number one, they ensure that you complete your community service within the Western Cape. Mm-hmm. So our group, or the group of students that were awarded that bursary, had first preference in their choices. When we were making our choices, because you had to have, I think, 5 options during our final year to sort of just like put out there that, okay, I would like to go here, I would like to go there, I would like to go there. We didn't even have the other provinces on our choices.
Sure.
We were strictly bounded within the Western Cape. So for me, that was a good thing, because like Western Cape is technically home now. Sure. Yeah, my family is here. Most of my life has been here. Grew up here, I studied here, and then I ended up working here. So that's how it worked for me. But then as to how the selection process goes for other students who are not awarded the bursary, I don't really have an understanding of how that goes, because sometimes they place you even in place that you didn't even put up as one of your 5 choices. So as to how the first preference runs in the other provinces, unfortunately, I wouldn't know.
Mm, okay. Now, I just want to know that, because I know most of the people who are doing, were in the medical field, they always, when it comes to being placed, it's almost like the biggest complaint, like, no, they took me to, I don't know what, KZ, Mpumalanga.
But guys, that's so good, hey?
Is it?
Like, I feel like a part of me, had I had the opportunity, yes, I'm very grateful for the bursary, but I would have loved, guys, to go and come serve in another province. Because mind you, as much as originally I'm from the Eastern Cape, Kutsolo, but the hospital that I was working in, that I was doing my community service in, that's where I was born.
Mm.
So technically, I grew up here, I studied here, I worked here. So had I had the choice, I would have most definitely chosen to go to another province. And I feel like it's a good stepping stone to step into the workplace environment, if I may put it like that. Sure. At some point, you need to spread your wings and fly. And I feel like that's one of the best moments, given the fact that your salary is much more thicker than the other years.
Come on.
So during your community service, you're not taxed and all those things. So you receive all your money as is. So I feel like it's one of the best years to do that, to explore, put yourself out there. You have the cushion, you understand, rather than when you have to be an actual professional, like permanently working, and then you're taxed and all of those things. Now you have many responsibilities and so forth. As a commissar, you still have that mindset that, no, I'm still young, I can still eat my money, do what I want. Mm-hmm. But then at the same time, you're also trying to find your feet, seeing what you like, what discipline are you interested? Yes, you know, you have the cushion to do so.
Mm. Yeah. That's a nice fresh perspective, and thanks for that, because I think most of the people I know just had a different approach to the appointment, right? So maybe let's do it like this. Is there any heartwarming or rewarding moment that you have had? And if there was, please just explain that moment.
This is a tough one for me, because I feel like every day for me at work, guys, it's rewarding. Working with a specific client or patient, if I may put it like that, seeing their condition when they are admitted into their ward, nursing them back to health, up to the point where they are walking out, they are shaking your hand, they are giving you a hug. I said this in my final year, I said this to my mom, that I don't think there will be any gift, be it monetarily or anything of that sort, that will be more fulfilling than a thank you that comes from a patient. Guys, seeing my patient walk out and they are not necessarily 100%, but they are better. They've got more zeal for life.
There's life in their eyes.
You know, they walk out so hopeful. Sometimes they come back, they go back to their old ways and so forth. They don't treat their bodies the way that they're supposed to. But guys, there's nothing more fulfilling than a thank you coming from a patient. Unfortunately, there isn't a specific moment that I can mention, but so many instances are just coming up in my mind of, I remember this old lady, I remember this young man, I remember this young girl who says that now she also wants to study nursing. Ah, guys, every day is fulfilling for me, walking out knowing that I did my best. Yes, there are bad days. There are days where we have to, in a space of a shift, in a space of 12 hours, we have to rep 3 bodies. But knowing that you did your best, I always answer this when people ask me, how do you work with people who die? Like, aren't you afraid of dead bodies? How do you wash and like wrap dead bodies? I'm like, there's a peace in knowing that you did all that you could. I feel like I would have had what if, so I would have been hurt, or I would have had other feelings had I known that, okay, maybe I could have done this for this person, or maybe I could have done that for this person. But then knowing that I did my best every single day, I always do my best, and there was nothing that I personally, as Wendy, as a professional nurse, could have done to change the trajectory of this person's outcome. It's so fulfilling every day.
Beautiful moments that you've explained there. But what sort of catches my eye is the experience in your first, I guess, death. In front of you. I spoke to a doctor friend of mine, sort of classmate, and he says that, yeah, the first one is not the easiest one. For you, how was it for you, and how did you deal with it?
Oh, do I remember my first lost officer. So we call it lost officers. We do lost officers.
Okay.
And a person who has demised or passed
lost
away.
Lost officers. Okay.
Yes, we call it lost officers.
Sure.
I don't think I specifically remember the first one, but I know that there is one that really touched my heart as a student. It used to be an old African man, an elderly African man, if I may put it like that. I was still a student. I think I was doing my second year at the time. And for some reason, we got along quite well. I remember having left the previous day after having given him his medication. I held his hand and I prayed for him. I got back to rest that day and I continued to pray. There was just something in my heart that was like, there's many patients in the ward. There's like 32 patients roughly in a medical ward. But then that specific patient, I was like, God, I need you to help him to get up. There's only so much that I can do, but I know that your hand can go further. I really, really need him to get better. And then I came back the following morning and his bed was empty.
Oh, shame.
Ah, that was
your heart sank.
That was heartbreaking. I feel like that was one of the few times where my faith clashed with my career. I think before that, in most instances, I thought that I'm one of the good ones because I'm going to treat you medically and I'm going to pray for you. Like, what else do you need? I mean, you know, you're going to stand up, you're going to get up, you're going to get better. But that was just the beginning of many, if I may put it like that. Since then, I think I've grown more wiser, and I've gotten more understanding towards the will of God. But that was the one death that actually... It really
moved you, yeah.
Yeah, it moved me. Like, it shook me. I was like, he seemed like he was getting better. He was speaking. He could swallow well. He was breathing on his own. We were making jokes the previous day. And the most important thing, God, I prayed. I prayed so hard for him.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Now, it sounds like it's tough. And some professions, you never think that... That's what you're going to be dealing with. And I guess you guys are equipped for it. And maybe that can also sort of bleed off to the next topic, which is sort of a calling. Is nursing a calling?
For me, I would say it's a calling. I haven't come across a colleague or a student or anybody specifically in the places that I've worked in where I would say that nursing wasn't a calling for them. But I have come across, like, on other platforms such as social media, where other professionals would say that they hear other nurses saying that nurses is a calling, but for them it's just a career. And I would like to be exposed to such environments to see if they, like, what's what's different?
What's the difference here, sure?
Yeah. What's the difference? Do they get the same outcomes that we do? Or do we think that since we say that nursing is a calling for us, maybe we think that maybe we are more special, or are we just all the same at the end of the day? I haven't been exposed to such environments, but for me, nursing is a calling. You can study, and you can even like obtain your PhDs and so forth, but then there are just some basics of nursing that they can't teach you at school.
Sure.
You just really need to want to do it from the depths of your heart.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think I've talked to a pharmacist, and they had sort of the same, what's the word, passion that you have, similar, where they a nurse and they're also a child of God, and you get tempted to sort of pray for your clients or for your patients,
yeah.
And sort of it can be cross worlds at some point, because you have to be sort of professional,
because
that's not deemed as being professional, yes, praying for your clients, right? I would love for this to be sort of our part two of our conversation next time, so at least we sort of like delve into it and the challenges of being a child of God and sort of having to be tempted to sort of pray, make a soft prayer under your breath,
yeah,
for your patients. But I think maybe we can just move it to a sort of a next section. That's if you are willing to come through again.
Most definitely.
With that said, I have some few things that I want us to talk about, but I think maybe let me just chop it down to two, and I'll ask the last question, right?
Okay.
The one is overworked stuff. I know you touched on it.
Mm.
Like, we always hear about nurses or doctors being overworked. Mm. Please explain what does that mean, and is there anything that probably can be done to sort of mitigate that situation?
So burnout or fatigue, I think it all stems from being understaffed and there being a pressure to produce results. If something is not done the way that it's supposed to be done, or if you don't meet all of your goals for the day, you can't necessarily explain and say that we were short-staffed. You need to make it work. So you'd find that you won't only be the shift leader. You need to be the shift leader. You need to be the pharmacist, ensuring that you've got all of your medication. You need to be a social worker for a patient that needs a social worker. You need to just be somebody that's there to listen to another patient that just needs to vent and offload their heart. So it all stems from being understaffed. Personally, I believe that's one of the main issues that we are faced with. This is why you'd find that many nurses, they would be a permanent employee in one institution and then still freelance for an agency. So meaning that in a week, technically they work 7 days a week. Mm. Or if they are working day shift, in this shift, they would rush off to another hospital to work night shift.
Mm.
That's obviously breaking down your body, if I can put it like that, because you are overworking yourself. But then there's a need, you know, we are very short-staffed. We are very understaffed, if I may put it like that. And unfortunately, I'm not placed in the spaces where I can make or say such comments or make such decisions, but it all stems from there. We are very much understaffed, especially in our public settings. I feel like there is a grace in the private sector, but in the public and provincial sector, there's very little grace. There's a lot that you need to carry on your shoulders as short-staffed as you are.
I think, okay, I'm tempted to ask another question. All right. You're the second nurse I've heard on the podcast. The first one was an elderly nurse, which was my mother. The question I have for you now is, what's the, and please don't sugarcoat it, because I said it's my mother.
Okay.
But I just want to know, what's the difference in terms of older experienced nurses and you youngsters who are just entering the nursing field, and what sort of, how do you deal with each other's relationship?
I feel like what assisted me in being able to navigate through the difference, the thick line in between, is always going back to the basics. I think that the tension grows thicker when you feel that there is a different nursing care that an elderly or an elder nurse would do compared to the nursing care that you are, as a youngster, are going to provide. Yes, there are things that are constantly developing and constantly adapting, ways of treatment that are always changing. But at the end of the day, I always say this, at the end of the day, you always need to go back to the basics. The basics will always lead you to the best patient care. There is the fact that our grandmothers and our great-grandmothers lived so long. That should be the outcomes of the previous sort of healthcare settings that were there. So it's not all bad, but yeah, you know that we are a very strong-willed generation. We believe that we know best, as much as sometimes we won't always know best. But that's what assisted me. Yes, there are some things that I had implemented in my own workspace that ended up like I'm helping us. But then at the end of the day, I always knew that I had to go back to the basics. That nurse that has been there for 40 years, it's not that she doesn't deserve to be there, or he doesn't deserve to be there. They know what they're talking about. They've produced the results.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay, let me just ask this question. How many tiers in nursing in terms of growth? Mm-hmm. You said you're a professional nurse. What's above that? I just want you to explain like the different tiers, the growth as a nurse.
Okay.
So like someone who's going to be doing nursing, they know, okay, which one are they going to go for?
Okay, so where I currently am at, there's multiple avenues in which you can grow. So you have the option of either continuing in the same NQF level. I feel like that's maybe the easiest way to explain it for others that might not be in the profession. So you can continue in the same NQF level, this being you obtaining more bars. So I think I was a part of the second last, if not the last group, who we're going to graduate with 3 bars. Mm-hmm. So that is a bar for psychiatry, for midwifery, and for community healthcare. Mm-hmm. The group after us, they only will be graduating with 1 bar, which is specifically midwifery. So if they would want to obtain the other bars, they would have to do a year for each bar.
Okay.
So, but then the gag about that is that you stay in the same NQF level. So even if, let's say, you'd have 5 bars, so you would do your education, you would do your management and so forth. Yes, you are going to obtain more bars, but unfortunately, you're going to stay in the same NQF level.
NQF, what is that? Is it?
So you know the ranking that they use for matric, it's just...
Yes.
Is it the National Qualification Framework? I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's something along those lines.
I think I do understand NQF. You use the same thing and it also affects your salary as well.
That's the thing. You might have multiple bars, but you are still somewhat in the same level as me.
Hectic.
Who has the same 3 bars. It's just that you will perhaps be exposed to more opportunities because you have more accolades behind your name and you preferably have more experience.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, I could have 3 bars, you could have 5 bars, but we're still going to be in the same level and we're going to work in the same ward. The difference comes when you are doing a specialty. But then also specialty, I'm not sure if it's level above or if it's in the same level. But then again, that's the one level or tier above in the hierarchy that would guarantee you a salary boost. So this is if you're specializing like in psychiatry. So you don't only have the bar, but you're actually specializing in it. Or if you are an advanced midwife, you advanced in neonatology, those sort of things. So then you would have an extra chunk of money because you are the special person in the shift. So maybe perhaps per shift, there would be 1 advanced midwife or 1 advanced psychiatry nurse. This is just to assist with those more difficult patients or more difficult situations. So then you can also do that. And then 3, you can do the normal way that everybody is doing. So currently my qualification is a degree with honors. So from here, I jump to master's. I will do my master's after doing my master's, and then I will do my PhD. That's also one of, as much as your experience and your NQF levels will have increased from like 8, 9, 10 and so forth. But then again, if you have three bars in the ward and I have three bars in the ward, it's not going to be written on your forehead that you have master's. At the end of the day, we're going to do the same scope of practice. At the end of the day, unfortunately. So there's very few avenues that actually put you at a better position.
Sure.
To have a better salary, if that is necessarily what you are aiming for. Mm-hmm. But if I were to advise, I would advise for the specialty because it guarantees you an extra chunk of money. It's very rare that you will find that a person who has actually done advanced midwifery being just a regular midwife and paying the same salary. There's always a need for specialty nurses.
And you study for this and also do practicals for it.
Yes.
Is it something that you need years of experience or you have to study for it?
So when you are specializing, you need to have in the discipline that you are trying to specialize in, you need to have experience in that discipline at least for a minimum of 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that's fair.
That's okay, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you so much, Wendy, for coming through.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You went through, and I feel like we could have went even longer, but I think I just want to cut it here.
It's okay.
And then we'll actually do another one, have another one, and sort of finish up the rest of the questions that I have. In closing, what has been a recurring theme in your career and how has it helped you grow?
Specifically in my career, I think being in the position that I'm in, being a team leader, being a shift leader, we in the hospital system, we call them in charge. We call ourselves in charge. So being the in charge of the ward, I think for me, it's humility. You will come across instances where your clients or your patients will feel that they know better because they've been taking certain medication for a number of years, or know their family member had this and then they used this to help them, and then that is specifically not what the doctor has currently prescribed for them. Going to staff, there are staff members that have been working in those institutions for many years. They have experience. As much as they might not have the accolades or the academics behind them, but the fact that they don't have the same epilates as you do doesn't mean that they know less. I think in all spheres or factors of my life, with pageantry being the face of a brand, in my nursing career, being a shift leader at home, being the firstborn, I've always just been put in positions where I'm a leader. But then the one thing that has always helped me is humility. Always, always. I think that is the one main characteristic that I would say has assisted me to put me in the current position that I'm in now.
Great. Thank you so much. You must have humility. And I think that's a great takeaway for us as the working force. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much. You've been, I want to use the word the vibe. Let me just use it. Since it's the only word that's actually coming in my mind. So you've been a vibe. Thank you so much for coming through and sharing your valuable knowledge. And I believe it can be helpful for someone who's actually listening to this.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself.
Awesome.